Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this Christmas morning is this: Been There, Done That. Based on two passages of Holy Scripture, first from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to make atonement for the sins of the people. And next, from Matthew chapter 1, the first chapter in the New Testament, Matthew here records the genealogy, all of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. I won't read all of this for you. It would take too long. But listen to the highlights. Matthew writes, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac. To Isaac, Jacob. To Jacob, Judah and his brothers. Then to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. Then to Jesse was born David the king. To David was born Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. To Solomon was born Rehoboam. Then to Eliud was born Eleazar. Eleazar, Mathan, Mathan, Jacob. To Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to Christ are 42 generations." You know, most families try to keep their family secrets quiet. They don't talk about the uncle who was a thief, or the great aunt who was a streetwalker, or the cousin who cheated on his wife. Such stories remain unmentioned at family reunions and unrecorded on the genealogy pages in the front of the family Bible. That is, unless you are the son of Mary, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus displays the bad apples of his family tree right in the first chapter of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us about his many times removed relative Jacob, who was a thief and stole the birthright of his brother Esau. He talks about his years ago distant relative Rahab, who was a prostitute in the city of Jericho. And he lists great, great, great grandpa King David, who committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba and stole her from her husband Uriah. But our Lord Jesus, Savior of the world, Son of God and Son of Man, did not erase his name from the bad apples of his family tree. He displayed it for everybody to see. Well, today, the TV show Entertainment Tonight could have had a heyday with Jesus' relatives. They could have filled multiple shows with gossip about Jesus' family tree. So why did Jesus display his family's dirty laundry on clotheslines for everyone in the world to see? Why? Because you and your family, yes, you and your family have some dirty laundry too. An uncle with a prison record. The dad who abandoned you and never came home. The grandparent who ran away with the coworker. The sinful mistakes you have made in your life. If your family tree has any of this bruised fruit, then Jesus wants you to know. And Jesus says to you today, I've been there. The phrase, I've been there, I've done that, can be understood as the theme song of Jesus' Christmas message for you and for me. Yes, Jesus Christ is Almighty God in human flesh. Yes, Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Yes, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But yes, He was also born of a humble girl named Mary, laid to rest for the first time in a stable, a feed bin, in a smelly animal barn. He is true man, every bit as much as He is true God. And today on Christmas, we're here to celebrate that that's good news for you and for me. As true man, walking with us on this sinful earth, feeling our pain, Jesus, unlike anybody else, can truly say, been there, done that. To the lonely, Jesus whispers, I've been there. To the discouraged, Jesus nods His head and says, I've been there. To the misunderstood, to the unjustly attacked, to the forsaken, Jesus says, I've been there. Now, as Jesus the child grew up, we learn in Holy Scripture that for a time He worked alongside His father Joseph as a carpenter in the carpenter shop. The family likely struggled to make ends meet. Roman imposed taxes were very high. The little village of Nazareth was a dirty and poor little village. And did you know the Bible makes no mention of Father Joseph in Jesus' life after He was about age 12? Did Joseph die young? Mary might have raised Jesus and the rest of her children as a single mother. As the eldest, Jesus likely had a big responsibility to take care of His mother and His siblings. And we know, don't you remember, how close Jesus was to His mother Mary, even with His last breaths as He died upon the cross. To any of us here today, are you listening? To any of us here today with family challenges and family heartaches, Jesus can say, I've been there. And Jesus, as a carpenter, as a hard-working carpenter, surely had calloused, dirty hands. He had sweat-stained shirts. He had common looks. The prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 53, verse 2. He says this about Jesus. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon Him, nor any stately appearance that we should be attracted to Him. Historical studies of Jewish people of Jesus' day suggest that as the average man, Jesus stood about 5 feet, 1 inch tall, and weighed about 110 pounds. Hardly a cover boy for one of those glossy magazines you see every time you go to the store counter to pay for your groceries. My friends, are your looks average? Are your ways simple? So were His. He's been there. Our earlier Bible text from Hebrews 2:17 says this. Listen carefully to this. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like His brothers in all things, that He might become for them a merciful and faithful high priest to make atonement for the sins of the people. To understand our lives, to bear our sins, to become our Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God in human flesh became one of us. Okay. But what if your life is not obscure? What if your family is not poor? What if your looks are not plain? What if you have a business to run, or crowds to manage, or people to lead? Can Jesus relate? Has he been there? Absolutely. Jesus recruited and oversaw his own massive organization of disciples. Over 70 men plus women looked to him every day for leadership. Almost every day of his public ministry, he was in confrontational, high-level meetings with the most powerful religious and political leaders of his day who were out to take his life. His closest disciples included one man who was a zealot who hated the Romans and one man who worked for them as a tax collector. The mother of two of Jesus' key men demanded special treatment for her sons. And one of his men, named Judas, seemed to always have his hand in the money bag and was willing to sell Jesus out to the authorities for a fast buck. Do you have big responsibilities and challenges? Jesus has been there. Do you ever feel like some days you just have to get away because your life is too full? So did Jesus. Mark 1:35 says this, early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus awoke, left the crowds, went by himself to a quiet place where he prayed. Have you ever had so many demands in your life you have not been able to stop for lunch? Jesus can relate. Mark 6:31 says this, crowds of people were coming and going so much that Jesus and his followers did not even have time to eat. Do any of you here this morning have any family tensions or misunderstandings? Jesus gets it. In Mark 3:21, we read, when Jesus' family heard what was happening, they tried to take him home with them, and they said, he is out of his mind. My friends, do your friends or the people you really count on in your life ever let you down? Jesus can surely say, I've been there. When he was struggling one night with the fact that the next day he would go to the cross to pay for the sins of the world, his closest friends fell asleep. And they left him there to struggle all by himself. And when he was crucified the next day, these same friends ran for their own lives. And when Jesus, the Christmas baby, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, the Savior of us all, was on that cross paying for our terrible sins with his precious life, he felt forsaken by his Father in heaven. Jesus cried out upon that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Why would heaven's finest son endure earth's toughest pain? Why? So that you would understand the absolute truth of Hebrews 2:18 that says this, he is able to run to the cry of those who are being tempted and tested and tried. That is to say, my dear friends, this Christmas morning, whatever you are facing, whatever you are facing even on this holy day, and when this season is past, never forget this. Jesus has been there. He knows how you feel. He gets it. He is the beautiful babe in the Bethlehem manger. He is Almighty God come in human flesh. He is the crucified and risen Savior. But He is also true man in every respect. And He has walked, yes, He has walked the proverbial mile in your shoes. He has been there. He has done that. He understands you, and He loves you more than you will ever know. Some years ago, I ran in a large road race in Seattle, Washington, a half marathon. There were thousands of runners in this race. This race was raising money for cancer research. Now, most of us ran in the race to get a nice race t-shirt, or to get the nice finisher's medal at the end of the race. Or we were simply happy to run the 13 miles in support of the cause. Some ran in memory of a loved one. Some ran to honor a cancer survivor. We ran for different reasons, but no runner was more passionate or compassionate than one I spotted at a distance, because a bandana covered her bald head. Dark circles enshadowed her eyes. She had cancer. While we ran out of kindness, she ran out of conviction. She knew how cancer victims feel. She'd been there. And so has Jesus. As Hebrew 2 has told us, He is able to run to the cry of those who are being tempted and tested and tried. When you turn to Him for help, Holy Scripture tells us, He runs to you to help. Why? Because He loves you. He was born at Christmas for you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and He rose from the grave to give all who trust in Him everlasting life. He's been there. He's done that for you. By the way, do you remember way back at the beginning of our sermon? Do you remember how Jesus was not reluctant to call His less than perfect relatives His family? Well, He's not ashamed of you either. He is not ashamed of you either. Hebrews 2:11 says, Jesus and those He makes holy are from the same family, so He is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. On this Christmas day, but every day of your life, go to Him with your joys and with your needs. He welcomes you to do so. Why? Because you are a part of His family. Blessed Christmas. In the name of Jesus, who has been there and done all of that for you. Amen.